First cassette, side one of tape number JE18. The following is a salvation message given Sunday morning, October 6, 1963.
How many Bibles do we have here tonight? Put your Bibles up and let's have a praise off. Look at that for the Word of God. Just look around. It's the Word search. Amen. Glory to God. How many are glad for this good old book here, huh? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm so glad that I just keep my Bible with me most all the time. Very rare you ever see me without my Bible. Praise God. It's right nearby. Now, let's go to the 16th chapter of Acts. And then we'll have just a little study here. A little something that the Lord spoke to me about 12 o'clock last night to take tonight. Let's go to the 16th chapter. And this is something light. It's not exactly deep. Something everybody can grasp a hold of, even if you're tired. We feel sorry for the boys from California. I know what it's like driving that trip. I've driven that many times. Brother and Sister Erickson, bless their hearts, from all the way to Oklahoma they came, and they haven't had any rest last night or today either, and they're still here with us. So hungry they are for the Word of God. Pray for them. They're precious in the Lord. But in spite of all that, we can gain something from this 16th chapter. Now let's begin in verse 16. Let's start in verse 12. And let's begin to get the background of this story. And I want to give you just two little statues of truth. We learn here at the church continually that the Word of God is laid out in the form of a cross. And it doesn't matter whether we're studying the Old Testament tabernacle that God had given to Israel, which was a picture of the second tabernacle, or Jesus Christ. That's why you see the form of Jesus back behind those pieces of furniture there, because the tabernacle that God gave unto Moses was to be a picture of the stature, the body of Jesus Christ. So these pieces of furniture tell us how to go on and to grow up into stature. So that was God's blueprint for the entire Bible. The whole Bible is laid out in the form of a cross. It doesn't matter what you go to, what chapter you go to, what person's life you go to, what subject you go to. We find it just tremendously interesting here at the church to study the Word of God in such a form. How many of you have really learned something since you've been under this message? Say amen. If you didn't say amen, I'd just quit preaching. That's all. But I merely share with you what God reveals and quickens unto me. And so if I'm a child of God and it's a blessing and it's caused me to grow in grace and in knowledge, it has to do the same thing for everyone else that's interested. Now let's get the picture. We want to come down to the time that Paul and Silas was in jail. And I want to share that little story with you because God told me to last night. And then we'll go to the 6th chapter of Romans after a while. He sent him from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia, and a colony, and were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. It was the custom in the eastern countries, and still is in some other countries, to see women by the waterway, or the water brooks, or the riverside, even on Sunday. Washing their clothes. So that was the place to go to witness for the Lord. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. I'll tell you, if your heart gets open, God has got to open it, saints. Amen. And he said that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if we have judged, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, what a difference today. Most times, ministers have constrained somebody else to open the door for them. But this woman was so appreciative of the Lord, and she said, now, if you judge me faithful enough, well, then she said, come in my house. Give me the opportunity of entertaining you. Praise God. Now, I have to be speaking the truth to you because I can't be in to you because I have no time to come into your house and eat dinner with you. I'm just telling you the truth from the Word. Amen. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, fortune telling. And there's still people that have spirits of the devil on them that can, to a certain degree, foretell a few things. The devil could tell enough to get you in trouble, that's all. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now, one of the devil's favorite tricks is to take a little truth and join it to a lie. And God doesn't want that. God won't have the truth joined to a lie. Did you know that? And if you'll take the time when Jesus was tempted by the devil, you find the devil even quoting scripture to Jesus. But you'll find he left out some and that he added some. So we have the same principle here. Now, these were the most high servants of the Most High God. Now, that was the truth. But the next part was a lie. Jesus Christ didn't come to save the devil. Huh? Jesus Christ didn't come to give the devil salvation. He came to give lost mankind salvation if they believe. So, and this did see many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailers to keep them safely." Now, I want you to notice that. Was it something, huh? They delivered by the name of Jesus Christ and the power of God this woman that was possessed of a devil, and for that, they received a beating and they got thrown in jail. Hallelujah to God. Praise God. And now people are so afraid to go on for God because they're afraid of taking a little tongue lashing from somebody. Why, nobody can beat you in free country. Nobody can throw you in jail for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm a Messiah. And so how we ought to be sold out for God. Saints, I don't know about you, but I made up my mind a long time ago that I wanted to be real with God and that I want to go on for God. Hallelujah. And I don't care who I have to leave behind. I don't care what has to come or go. I made up my mind I'm going to run for Jesus because I got a hold of the best thing I've ever had a hold of in all the days of my life. Oh, hallelujah to God. So they didn't mind that. I want you to get the background so you appreciate this little sucker that I'm going to put on the board. In fact, I'm going to put two of them there. Now, let's look at it. So they were charged to keep them safe in prison. It says here, "Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Now, it wasn't just enough for them to throw them in prison, but they put them in the inner prison and put their feet in stocks. Well, they couldn't move. They were secured securely there. And so that they couldn't possibly escape. Now, here's the portion that God wants us to concentrate on. I want you to have the background of it. Now, two figures that are the theme from here to the rest of the chapter, and that is the servants of God and the jailers. Now, let's look at the servants of God, and we find a little statue of truth about them. And we find the jailer, and this is quite interesting to us when we examine it. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's put the jailer over on this side. And I want you to notice, beloved, as we continue the story here, let's just examine it. Now, here are the servants of God over here. And let's compare the happenings now from the end of the chapter, from here to the end of the chapter. Now, at verse 25... "And at midnight, Paul and Silas were so grieved that they'd been put in jail for doing good." Amen. Well, how does it read? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Oh, hallelujah to God. Joy in suffering. Hallelujah. Now, let's compare the statues and just see which side you'd like to be on. Joy in suffering. Beloved, you've got to go on for God. In order to have joy in suffering. Did you know that? Joy in suffering. I didn't write it out, but you know what I'm talking about. Listen, it's wonderful to go with Jesus and have joy in suffering. You know why you don't have joy in suffering? Because you have sold out 100% for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And when you get your mind upon Him, beloved, and you're reminded, and you allow yourself to remember what it cost Jesus Christ to walk up Golgotha's hill and lay Himself there, beloved, at the cross, Calvary, for your salvation and my salvation, then it makes you joyful inside that you've been counted worthy to fellowship a little bit of His suffering. Oh, hallelujah to God. It's real going on with Him. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you, modern-day Christians are a pretty sickly bunch if you ask me anything about it, beloved. We don't know anything about suffering. Now, I'll tell you, just do us good if God would send us some old-fashioned persecution. Did you know that? Hallelujah to God. It severs out people that are praying in this thing, and it shows up those that mean business for God. Hallelujah. And so they were joyful in their suffering. What were they doing? Now, just look at the picture. Remember, they'd already been beaten, and the backs had been laid open, beloved, for the cause of Jesus Christ. And then they were thrust in the inner prison and sitting there in stocks, fast, beloved, so they couldn't move. And yet, in the midst of all of their suffering, their physical suffering, praise the name of God, and maybe whatever mental suffering that they might have had along with it, what were they doing? They were singing praises unto God and were praying and worshiping the Lord right there in the middle of the jail. And all the rest of the prisoners heard them. Praise God forevermore. I want to be real with God. How many of you want to be real with God and go on with Him? Praise God. Well, if you do, stop that murmuring and complaining every time somebody says something about you. Praise God. Look up and rejoice that you're counted worthy to suffer under the higher for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. If you was a Christian, you wouldn't be talked about for Christ's sake. Oh, hallelujah. But rejoice. These early Christians, they had something, brother. They had something so real that made them willing to suffer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now then, let's hurry on. They had joy in suffering. Oh, I just love this story here. It's one of my favorite ones. I guess because when I was first saved, I was at home. And you've heard me tell the story how we used to have all-girls saints orchestra and played in the nightclubs. I used to rather play that bass violin of mine than to eat when I was hungry. That's right. I thought there was nothing greater in all the world than playing music. And next to that, I loved to dance. I thought there was nothing greater after that than to kick up your heels on a dance floor until Jesus Christ began to convict my poor miserable soul. I didn't know what it was all about. I got afraid to go to sleep at night. I got afraid that Jesus Christ would come. And I got afraid that I'd die in my sleep and so on. Until one day I'd gone as far as I could go and I knelt down beside my bed. And I didn't know how to pray through. I didn't know nothing except I just cried to God to have mercy on me and save me. And beloved, Jesus spoke out of heaven to me, and He told me to arise, go in peace. And He took a big weight off of my back I've been carrying. Oh, hallelujah to God. And He put a little song in my heart that jumped up and down, a little spring that just broke and said, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And from that day, beloved, something happened inside of me. I didn't know how to tell anybody about it. I didn't know how to describe it. But, brother, it was working in me. Now, I went out the next day and just frankly gave my bass violin away and just quit, beloved. And God turned me around, and my face was in a different way. Praise God, and I've never wanted to go back. Hallelujah to God. to the darkness that was under in those days. I've never wanted to turn around because I've got something, brother, that was far more wonderful than that bass violin. And it's showing up. And something more wonderful, bless God, than kicking my heels up on a dance floor. I got something that makes me kick up the side all the time now. Oh, hallelujah to his wonderful name. What unspeakable is the glory. I was already married. I was a sinner when I married. You young people that are Christians that have a chance to wait on God for the directed will of your life, you have a great privilege. Amen. But my husband and I were both sinners when we married. Never will forget the first Sunday. Nobody had to tell me to go to church. This thing that God put in me, hallelujah. I'm a mama Hyundai, began to work out of me. And I got a Bible, one in big time, you know, the kind you buy to lay up on a table somewhere and gather dust. And that's the only one I had. So I picked it up and I said, I'm going to church today. And we fought all the way to church. Hallelujah. Dad was trailing along. Amen. But bless God. You know, I stood on a part of this word here in the 16th chapter of Acts. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And I lived on my feet for a year. Never prayer meeting I could get into, I would request prayer for his soul. Praise God. And then I lived to see the day when he walked down the aisle. Amen. And began to repent of his sins. Praise God. Beloved, it's real serving God if you'll just trust him and give your all to God. Sometimes we want God to do so much for us and we haven't really given our all to God. Not really. Now, let's hurry on. Praise God. Let's hurry on here real quick and with the story, and we'll build our little lesson here. And he said, while they're in position, boy, in suffering. Beloved, you say, why hasn't God delivered me? Listen to me. You hear me clearly tonight. God will not deliver you until you learn to joy and rejoice in the midst of suffering. Did you hear me? Well, three of you heard me. I said, did you hear me? Amen. When you begin to surrender so to the Lord inside of you and get your eyes so on him that it doesn't matter whether your back has been ripped open and bleeding and your feet in stocks, and it doesn't matter what people are doing to you, when you can get in the middle to where that you're so thrilled with him and you're so in love with him and his joy is moving through you so great, bless God, then the deliverance will come. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I'm Messiah. Oh, hallelujah. You say, Sister Hicks, that's hard. Oh, yes, that's hard. And yes, it was hard when he went up Calvary's cross. Amen. All right. Let's look at it now, the next verse. And suddenly, now we see deliverance. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken and immediately all the doors were opened. Everyone's bands were loosened or their stocks were loosened. So now we find deliverance here for Paul. Now we're going to build these and Silas here, the servants of God. Let's look at them. Now we find deliverance. Praise God. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he faithful? And I'm going to tell you something, beloved. If the Apostle Paul and Silas had been mumbling and grumbling and complaining and saying, Lord, I just don't know why you let me have to suffer so much. What does the Word say? The Word says that the... Lord, help me talk in English. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. The Word says that a servant is not above the master. And if our master had to suffer for us, we're going to have to suffer for the master. And if they didn't complain and say, Lord, we just don't deserve to be here. Well, here we laid hands on this girl and we saw her delivered and we did a mighty work for you. Now why, Lord, do you let us have to suffer like this? If they didn't complain like that, beloved, they'd have never touched heaven. Praise God, but they were singing and praising and rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. God heard it. He heard it. Praise God. And pretty soon, a rumbling started taking place. Hallelujah to God. Have you ever been in an earthquake? Have you ever been anywhere where you felt the ground shaking under you? And even the foundations of your house shaking? Even the couch you're sitting on shaking? Amen. Oh, glory to God. Praise God. Deliverance came, beloved. And Paul's bands were loosened. But I want you to notice as we begin to compare these two statures of truth, I want you to see what happened to the jailer. Beloved, what meant a deliverance for the Apostle Paul meant something for the jailer. I'll tell you, let me tell you something. People that don't know God, they don't know how to interpret the power of God. Did you know that? What meant the deliverance for the Apostle Paul meant something else for the jailer. Brother, it put him in a state of desperation. You'll see it on board in just in a minute. I'll tell you, when God begins to send his power and shake people, listen, sometimes nothing. We see it all the time here. The power of God moving and really shaking people. It's like an earthquake going on. Praise God. Now I'll tell you, God's just not playing tiddlywinks. When the Holy Ghost power follows somebody and just shakes them till their teeth rattle. I'll tell you what, it's an earthquake, and God boosts them from the bonds, hallelujah, of the flesh, hallelujah, and the world and the devil. God's not just saying, he's setting them free. But I'll tell you, if you don't know God, you'll be like the jailer over there. You'll get pretty deaf over the moving of the power of God. Oh, hallelujah. And talking about the moving of the power of God, thank God for the victory in the revival in Tulsa, Oklahoma last night. Oh, hallelujah to God. Praise God. Sister Connor called this afternoon, and I tell you, they were staying in a motel, and the woman that run the motel had a Presbyterian, a daughter and son-in-law, I believe, or son and daughter-in-law, some way that way. And pray God, you know, Leonard and Dave, they don't leave anybody alone anywhere, no one time. Praise God. They'd be almost 24 hours a day. And so they've already got those people to accept the Lord and to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And on the first night of the revival, isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Hallelujah. And so they had a tremendous time last night. And they had around 300 or more of people last night, the first night. And there was some other meetings. In fact, I don't think Brother Day was there. I think they were having a full gospel business meeting. He was down there speaking at that, I believe, or something. Praise God. But they had a good time there last night. Now, let's keep on praying. Praise God. Let's keep on praying. And God has spoken about a certain kind of fast for us to go on. Now, I thought I was going to do it tonight. Maybe I'll do it Tuesday night. We're going to do it now, just as soon as the Lord makes the time and the way for me to tell you more about it and to anoint you. Brother, there's just one way to get the victory, and that's to fast and pray. And we're seeing God do mighty things, not just in this United States, but in other places through fasting and prayer. And of course, so are other of God's children. We're not the only ducks in the pool, praise God. But we're having a good time swimming, aren't we? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. All right, now let's press on here. Praise God. Hallelujah. In verse 27, let's begin see the jailer's experience. What was his first experience? Praise God. Well, this was startling to him. He got the same experience, only he started down here. The earthquake, hallelujah, the shaking. My. God plunged him right in the middle of the fire, and he didn't know what was going on. What happened to him? Let's see when this old earthquake began to shake, and that old jail began to rattle. You think how tremendous that was. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I believe it, because God's Word says so. Amen. And he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. I'm a sundial. And he said, beloved, this Word is divinely inspired by the Holy Ghost. That holy men of God wrote it as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. I'm the Messiah. Oh, hallelujah. Say, what makes you do that? I can't help that. That Holy Ghost witnesses. All right, let's read about what happened. After the earth began to shake here, let's see the jailer's experience now. Let's see if he was delivered. Praise God. In verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prince had been fled. Brother, he got desperate. He was in desperation. Praise God. Now, isn't that something? The power of God, the mighty earthquake that brought deliverance over here for the Apostle Paul, it brought desperation over here to the jailer. But praise God, beloved, if you're a sinner tonight, you've got to get desperate before you can get to God. Oh, hallelujah. Under Messiah, you've got to realize you can't go any farther. And that jailer comes to the end of the way. He thought, all these prisoners have escaped. And he knew it would mean his life had they escaped. And he drew out his sword and he was ready to take his life. Brother, he came down to the end of the way. That's what happened to me. When I come down to the end of the way, I tried to take my life because I couldn't find anything worthwhile to live for, not really. Amen. God had to bring me to that place. God had to bring me to a state of desperation, beloved. When it seemed like the earth was shaking underneath me and nothing was stable or secure and there was nothing I could hold on to. God knows how to shake you, beloved. God knows how to put you in circumstances of life to just shake you until it looks like there's nothing left. But what does he shake you for? Beloved, he wants you to get to the place where you can look upon God. The word said that he'll shake everything that's shakable, that which is unshakable might remain. Hallelujah. And so you find out what's unshakable when God begins to shake you through circumstances of life. He begins to send the earthquakes and you feel the rolling and the rumbling and there's nothing you can hold on to. And it's like you're rocking and you're rolling and you don't know which way to turn and you're desperate. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Ben, that old jailer was willing to listen to a message about Jesus Christ and look up unto the one by faith that had saved his soul and redeemed his soul at Calvary's cross. Isn't that wonderful, saints? Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah to his sweet name. If I had 1,000 tongues, I'd use them 24 hours a day. Praise him, bloody death. I'll tell you, when God does something real, there's nothing puny about your testimony. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, a fool of it. You're just rushing over with it because it's so real going on for God. Brother, he did a real thing that day when he shook me and he drove me to such desperation that it drove me to my knees and I began to cry out in mercy for him. That's what he wants to do for some of you tonight. I know that. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Wonderful Jesus. Amen. And so while Paul and Silas, the servants of God, were delivered, the jailer was thrown into desperation. And so it's good for us to be thrown in situations of desperation because God is behind the whole thing. Amen. Now then, let's read further and build the rest of our lesson here for just a few moments. And then we'll pass on to another portion of the service. Now then, let's look at it. The Apostle Paul and Silas found this man in such utter desperation and saw his desperation. Brother, let me tell you something. If God has given us something of a reality, of a knowledge and experience with God, and he puts other people across our pathway that are in states of desperation, he does it that we might minister to them. Hallelujah to God. How many of you want to go on with God, and even if you're not a minister from the pulpit, that you'll have something to minister to people when they're in desperation? Do you want to go on for God like that? Sure. Is it a joy when you can sit down with some human being that's in utter desperation? There's been an earthquake, so to speak, in their life, and they're shaken till they don't know which way to turn or which way to go. Is it good to have enough of the Word of God to set them and give them a recipe, hallelujah, for victory? All right. Now then Paul begins and Silas begin to minister. This brings us up to the next point of their experience in this jail service. Amen. Now they begin to minister. And may I say this again? I say it all the time. A lot of times, beloved, people that are wanting to prepare for the ministry, they're more in love with the service than they are getting this thing inside of them. How many times do I tell you, if you get it inside of you, it doesn't matter wherever God sets it, you'll be able to minister. Hallelujah, God. Whether you're in the pulpit, Paul didn't have a pulpit that night, but bless God, he was in the jail. When he found somebody in desperation, he had something in his soul that he could turn loose and begin to minister to him. You can't minister what's not inside of you. Now, let's look on a little bit further here, how he ministered. Praise God. And he said here at verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Oh, now he begins to inquire. Praise the name of the Lord. Paul had already begun to minister. And I'll tell you, when you're ministering to somebody and they begin to inquire, well, then you know that you're getting somewhere with them. And Paul spoke to him, and he said, don't do yourself any harm.
First cassette, side two of tape number JE18. This is the continuation of this salvation message.
And so Paul spoke to him, and he said, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. And so he began to minister and began to calm him down from his desperation. And so then he called for a light and sprang in, brings them out, amen, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? If you remember, there was another group of people that at that one time, when the Apostle Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, beloved, under the mighty anointing of the Holy Ghost power, after they just received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I heard some of your lesson this morning on the Holy Ghost, remind me to tell you really why they had tarried 10 days for the Holy Ghost. Besides getting in one accord. Now then, on that great day when they were filled with the Holy Ghost and Peter stood up as a spokesman for them, you remember after he preached that great message, the word says they were pricked in their hearts. And then they cried out to Peter and the rest of the apostles, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah to God. When people begin to inquire and to find out what to do, God's got the answer of what for you to do. Hallelujah to God. And it's wonderful to get around somebody that's got enough knowledge of the Word of God and enough power of the Holy Spirit that they can tell you what to do. Praise God. And some of them were Shandaya, and Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Brother, he told them what to do. They find that Paul was faithful. He was a servant of God, a minister. And so when the jailer began to inquire, sirs, what must I do to be saved? It began to dawn on him when Paul began to minister to him. And he got a revelation along the way there somewhere, brother, that this earthquake was sent by God. And this was no ordinary situation. What must I do to be saved? Praise the name of the Lord. All right, let's read on here and see Paul's further ministry to him. After he quieted him down in his desperation, you have to quiet people down. Sometimes when people come to you, they're so desperate. They're so heartbroken. Their minds are so cluttered and torn. And they're in such utter desperation that you've got to calm down. And then you can begin to minister to them a greater and in a deeper way. This is what happened here. And so verse 31, and this is the verse I stood on for about a year for my husband. And they said here, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Paul gave them a promise. If you just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, he's not talking about mental belief here. There's hardly anybody, I guess, I don't know, but anyway, most people in the United States know who Jesus Christ is, don't they, huh? But you'd be surprised how many church members, beloved, have just a mental belief and not a heart belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was joined to the Methodist Church when I was 12 years old, and I'm not trying to speak disrespectful of any particular group, beloved, as such. And there was a time when the Methodist Church was on fire for God. When I was a little tiny girl, as I've told you, how many of you remember my old-fashioned Methodist grandma that was here during convention? Didn't you enjoy her and get a blessing out of her? She's going on 85 years old now, and she was sick. She's been in ill health about the past year for sure. And Brother Dave was in. Brother Dave Rich at one time on a little time of rest and studying the Word of God. As we got through studying, I said, son, and Carol was with us. I said, let's go down and pray for Grandma. She's had a heart attack, and he's not doing so well. And so went in, and there was my precious little old Grandma with the gray hair laying there. Do you think she's murmuring and complaining? No, her little old eyes were shining like stars, and her face was beaming. Oh, she just was so happy, and we prayed for her, and God touched her heart, and she was better for several months. But after all, you know, when you get 85, you got to go sometime. Amen. And so we realized Grandma's already lived her 3 score and 10 years. And so when we come out, Dave said, Trick said, she ministered to me instead of me ministering to her. But God blessed Brother Dave that day and anointed him. God did touch Grandma, and she was supposed to die according to the doctors then. But God raised her up, and she come to convention then. And she still talks about it. When I went in to see her the other day, her eyes were filled with tears, and she'd had a stroke, and she couldn't hardly see. But when I got over to her bed, she asked my mother, she said, who's with you? And I said, Grandma, the only preacher in the family. And he got a hold of my hand, and she hung on to me, and she began to talk about how it was here in convention. And she's told everybody she's never experienced the presence of the power of God like she did over here in convention when she visited us. And you know how she rejoiced over the Word of God. There was a time when she'd walk up and down the aisles of the church and shout, and her hair would fall down. Her face would light up like an angel. I was a little tiny girl. And I'd say to myself, if I ever got religion, I wanted it like Grandma had it. And I'd cry and I'd want to be saved. And they didn't understand that children could be saved in those days. And they'd come over and pat me on the head. They'd say, honey, when you get bigger, you can be saved then. Well, when I got bigger then, I didn't want to be saved then. Time for people to get saved is when God's moving on them. Let me tell you something. You can't just get saved when you want to. Brother, you're not bossing this little wheel here. This is God's wheel. And you're going to come when the Spirit of God's on you, drawing you, or you just won't get there. Amen. And so when I got older, and we moved to a formal church in the city, and well, you got catechized and sprinkled and everything else. And so we joined. But beloved, I didn't know nothing when I joined. I didn't have anything in my heart. Amen. And so I went on and went on out into the world and out into sin for a few years because I didn't have Jesus Christ in my heart. Let me tell you, there's a difference between a heart belief and a head belief. I had a head belief. And many times after that, listen, I'd go to, if I was in a place along during my period of going up there, I'd go to a place where maybe it's having a revival, and I'd go down to the altar and pray, and again, I felt something way down inside that I did want to be saved. They'd say, well, do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And I'd say, well, sure, I've always believed on it. There was never a time in my life when I didn't believe, but it was in my head. It takes the Spirit of God to give you a heart belief way down in here. And Paul said in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe where? In thine heart, thou shalt be saved. And this is the kind of faith that Paul was talking about. Do you really believe? Amen. And God did something to that jailer, something quick. And beloved, when faith gets into your heart, it changes your life. Did you know that? Praise God. And who knows here, beloved, this wicked sinner here that would have given consent to the stripes that was put on the Apostle Paul's back and Silas's back, he's got a change now. And we'll see that as we come on up here. He begins to inquire. Now let's press on. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Let's look at it now. And so Paul said, believe and thou shalt be saved. It's not a head belief you've got to have. It's a heart belief to such an extent, beloved, that it changes your whole life. That day that I looked up into his face by faith and asked him to have mercy on me, there was something that happened inside of me and my life was changed. And that's been 25 years ago. And there's never been a time since that I wanted to go back what God brought me out of. Beloved, there's never been a time when I wanted to return to my vomit and my water. Now let's read on. And so, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord. If you're going to speak the word of the Lord. Don't give people your doctrines or your opinions or your ideas. Speak the plain word of God and let God's word do the work. It's the only thing that will really work and do any lasting good. And notice this. Look at the change in the jailer. He has salvation now. Praise God. And when you get salvation, what begins to happen to you, huh? It begins to work out of you, right? Huh? And so here was a heathen that didn't know the Lord. Previously, he would have been right in on the beating of these ones He had the opportunity. Now he begins to minister to him. Salvation begins to work out of him. You can always tell when people begin, when they really got a good case of salvation. You know why? Because they love the saints. They love the brethren. Amen. And you love those things that you once hated. Now you love them. Praise God. You understand what I'm saying to you, saints? Let's hurry on here. And we have just another point here. So we see that Paul received. Amen. This is a matter of receiving. I say Paul. He was the principal spokesman. Praise God. Paul and Silas, they received. You know, when you serve God, let me tell you something. You say, well, I've been doing everything. It seems like everybody else gets everything and I never get anything. Just wait. Just wait. Receiving is down the line. You see that? He learned the joy in the suffering. Then he got his deliverance. And then he began to minister. And then he began to receive something. God began to pay him then. And he began to receive courtesy and kindness and so on from the Philippian jailer. Isn't that wonderful, huh? Praise God. So you've got a time to receive if you'll just be patient. God will pay you one way or another. Like I tell the people all the time, God's way of repaying me, praise God, is to give me the word of God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads while the organist comes to the organ here and begins to play. There could be somebody here tonight that doesn't have the Lord. I don't know. All I do is obey God. And God told me midnight last night, 12 o'clock, I was so tired because I'd been busy between natural work and spiritual work all day long. And I was speaking at midnight last night, and the Lord spoke to me to bring this portion tonight. Now, God had a reason for that.